All right, tonight, if you would, take your Bibles, turn to John chapter 4. John chapter number 4, the Gospel of John is very familiar to all of us. This is the book of the New Testament that reveals the work, the deity of of the Lord Jesus Christ, more than probably any book in the Bible. And that John gave us the words of the Lord, the things that he did and the works that were accomplished, not only showing his humanity, but also his deity in the miracles that he performed and the work that was completed in him. Really need to read, and probably we'll read quite a few verses, but it's a very familiar passage of Scripture. We read in verse number 6. This is the starting of the account of the Lord's encounter with the Samaritan woman, the one we call her the woman at the well. And the Bible tells us that he had come into to Galilee. And verse number 6 says, "Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, as it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whomsoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus said unto her, Go call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus answered her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and in that saidest thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what, you know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, that true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and they marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seeketh thou, or why talketh with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and said unto the men, Come and see, which is told me all things that ever I did, is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore saith his disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That's reading through verse number 34. This account here tonight is a joyous occasion for this woman that goes to a physical well that had a physical need. But her need was much more than a physical need. It was a spiritual need that she really didn't know about. She didn't have understanding of that. And so we study this portion of Scripture tonight where the Savior deals with the Samaritan. And you can tell by the reading that the disciples were surprised. They marveled. They didn't understand why Jesus would take time to talk with her, nor did she understand that. She asked the question, "Why are you talking to me? You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan." And the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans at all. The Samaritans were the downcast, the outcast. They were the half-breeds. They were the ones that really, they were not Jew. They were not Gentile. They were mixed in their upbringing, and a father and a mother of different nationalities. And the Jews were what they considered a pure race and one that was perfect. And they didn't even consider the Samaritans of being anything worthy to talk to, much less to help. But the Bible says here, Jesus must needs go through Samaria. And I'm glad tonight that the Lord deals with Samaritans just like he does the Jews. He came unto his own, being the Jew, he came unto his own, but they received him not. But as many as receive him, that'd be the Samaritans, that'd be you and I. But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons or the children of God. And so tonight we deal with that portion of Scripture where the Lord is discussing salvation with this woman that his disciples didn't even feel like she was worthy to be talked to. She wasn't worthy of salvation. She wasn't worthy of their time, and especially of the Lord. And so tonight I want just to look a little bit about this lady and some of the things that took place in her life. It's interesting tonight as we read these verses. You come down to verse number 29. This is the last thing you see that she says. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And just a few verses up from that, she has already made reference to him being a prophet. She's already made reference to knowing that when Messiah is coming, he would tell them all those things, and he is called Christ. And so from verse 24 down to verse 29, there's something that's taken place in her life. I believe it's salvation, something that made a vast difference in her understanding of what she is going through and meeting the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you get to verse 29, this is the seventh time this lady has talked. If you look through here, you can count all the different phrases that she gives, and best I can tell, this is the seventh time that she makes a statement here in this passage. And of course, we know that seven is a number of completion. Seven is that number assigned to divine completion. You have 6 days of creation, seventh day, everything was completed, and the Lord rested on that day. We have the book of Revelation. It is a book of sevens all the way through. You have seven trumpets, seven vials. You have seven, many, many different things there in that book. And it all references being a completed work. And I believe when this woman speaks for that seventh time, the completed work had been done in her life. And she goes and says, come see this man. So I want us to look at maybe the footprints of salvation, or the footprints here of faith, or the signs of salvation. But I entitled tonight, a well is better than a water pot. I heard someone preach sometime, because I wrote out here beside, right underneath one of the verses, the lady exchanged her bucket for a well. And so there's been a lot of references, a lot of messages preached on this passage, and certainly nothing new or nothing different tonight. But I want us to just look some things in her life as she had this encounter with the Lord. And I believe it was an encounter. And when I got saved, I had an encounter with the Lord. I met the Lord. when a person comes to know Christ as their personal Savior, that's why we call it personal. It's not that we are made a Christian. It's not that we learn to become a Christian. It's not that we are categorized as a Christian because we do certain things and we have certain works that follow us. But we are a Christian because we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We come face to face with Him. We come face to face with ourselves. And we realize that there's no hope outside of the Lord. So I want us to notice three things tonight here in this passage. I read all those verses just to get the whole story of what takes place. And I can just visualize and picture the Lord sitting there on that well. Here comes the woman. And it's already said that he needed to go through Samaria. It wasn't any accident that the Lord went there. It wasn't any happening or chance that he was there. He went there for a reason because he knew that woman was going to be there at a particular time at that particular place. And guess what? The Lord knows where we will be at a particular time and a particular place. And he can work things out in our lives to make it work for us to hear the gospel, for us to have the message of salvation given. And here this woman comes and she sees this Jew sitting on the well. And he makes the first comment. He speaks to her, and it shocks her, it surprises her, because the Jew and the Samaritans were just, they were enemies, really. Tradition tells us that a Jew would not even go into the Samaritan land. And if they had to, then they would, when they got through it, they would take their shoes and knock the dust off of their shoes because they didn't want the Samaritan dirt on their dirt. That's how prejudiced they were against the Samaritans. And so here this woman is, she recognizes him as a Jew. And she said, why are you talking to me being a Samaritan woman? And then the Lord begins to give her a story, gives her a message. And he's there at the well, rather, and his disciples are gone into the city to buy meat. It was time that they were going to have a meal, and they go buy the meat and come back, and they're shocked when they see the Lord also. But we find in verse 25 and verse number 26, we see that she trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. She trusted the Savior. John chapter 4, verse 25 says, "The woman said to him, I know that Messiah cometh." She had some understanding about the Jews' religion. She had some knowledge about the coming of Messiah. And she said, "I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things." And Jesus said unto her, you see, she's saying, "I know some of these things." Jesus opens her heart now, opens her mind, and he says, "I that speak unto thee am he. I'm the one you're talking about. I'm the Messiah. I'm the Christ." And she believed that because she calls him Christ later on in the passage. We don't know how the Spirit of God moves in the hearts of men and women, convicting them and convincing them of their sins and showing them the Savior. We don't understand all the movements of the Holy Spirit, but the Lord, even in their conversation, he talks about the Spirit of God. And I'll tell you what, nobody's going to get saved unless the Spirit of God is active in that salvation. A person doesn't just say, "Well, I think I'll be a Christian today. I think this is the day." That's not going to happen. That will not really happen. We may say it does, but it's not going to really happen unless the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding and works in the hearts of people. And so she relied upon him, what he said. He said, I'm the one you're talking about. You've heard of me." And of course, the ministry of the Lord was well known, but probably not widespread in the Samaritan land. But she had heard that there was coming a time, and there was, in that particular time frame, there was a lot of people that believed that Messiah was coming. Just like there's a lot of people today who believe he's coming back. And they had an understanding of that. When Jesus was born, there was that that old man there in the temple. He said, I've been waiting for him. I knew he was coming, and the Spirit of God told him that he would see him before he died. And so they were looking for the Messiah. And so she says, we know he's coming. And when he comes, she says, when he comes, he'll tell us all things. And he's known as the Christ. And so she had gone to the well that day to draw water. The scripture says it was about what hour? It tells us here it was the sixth hour. And so she was coming in the midday to draw water, when most people would come early morning to get all that taken care of. But she had a reason for being there. She had a reason for being there at that time. And the Lord knew why she was there. The Lord knew her heart and knew her action. But as the Lord dealt with her and talked to her and give her these passage and give her these things about the water, she was coming to realize that the one she was talking to was really who she was looking for, and really knew that he was coming. There are certain changes that takes place in the life of an individual that comes to know the Lord, and if there's no changes, then there's no salvation. There is a change that takes place in our lives, and this lady was changed this day when the Lord intentionally came to where she was. He intentionally made his trip into Samaria. He intentionally went into that land where most of them would not have gone. And his disciples were surprised that he was there. And so we find that he now has given her some messages and given her some facts about water. We all know that water means life, and she comes to draw water. And the Lord said, he has this conversation with her. He said, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And she said, well, you don't even have anything to draw with. How will you do that? That's the natural response of a human being, of a person that has no understanding of spiritual things. The Lord said, I would give you living water. And she was thinking about wet water. She was thinking about that would take care of a physical need. And she said, you don't even have anything to draw water with. How would you do that? And so she is going through this process and hearing these words, and she is continually trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. She is going from this thing of not knowing what he's talking about until realizing he is the Christ. She goes from the unknown to the known. She goes from that which was mysterious to her. Why would a Jew talk to me? Why would he be here even? And she goes from that mysterious thought in her heart of why to a majestic thought that he is Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the one that has come to save his people from their sin. And so she is in this conversation that they're having. The Lord is gradually getting her trust and speaking to her about living water. And he said, if you take the water I have, you'll never, never thirst again. Thank God, salvation, when we get that, we don't have to have another drink of that. It is everlasting, eternal satisfaction from the Lord. And then he speaks to her concerning the Holy Spirit. And she, in her mind, she said, who is this talking to me? She's very polite to him. She says, sir. There in verse number 11, and in one other place, as we read, she called him sir. So she's very polite to this Jew that she's shocked is even talking to her. And she says, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. And then she asked, are you greater? Well, we know the answer to that. He is greater. But she didn't, again, the lost individual trying to figure it out through mental understanding. Are you greater than Jacob, who gave us this water? He drank from this well hundreds of years ago. He had his cattle, his sheep, had all of his animals feed at this water, and you say you're greater than he is? Oh, there's a greater than Jacob. There's a greater than Solomon. He is the greatest. And she is beginning to see and to understand. And Jesus answered to her, and he didn't try to convince her. He just told her in verse 13, Jesus said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So here we find this woman is trusting every word that the Lord is saying to her. He is reasoning with her. Come now, let us reason together. That's really what the Lord was doing here at that Samaritan well and with this Samaritan woman. And so he is reasoning with her, and she is coming to a understanding of what's taking place in her life. And the Bible says in verse number 28 of chapter 4, that the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith unto the men. She leaves her water pot that was very important to her. You had to go, didn't have a faucet like we have. They had to go to the well to draw water. It was a daily chore, it was a daily activity that most of the time the women took care of while the men were out working and in the fields, until the women would take care, and they would have it for bathing, they would have it for cooking, for drinking, and so it was a very important process in their life. But all of a sudden, she left that water pot, and I think that's sort of a type or a picture of turning from what you were to going to what you are. And she leaves that water pot, and the well is much more important. A well is better than a water pot. She had the water pot that had to be filled every day. But now she's trusted the Lord, and the Lord said, I'll take care of you. Spiritual thirst, you'll never, never thirst again. And so she turns from her sin. Somebody said, well, she's a very, very wicked lady. Well, she wasn't so wicked that the Lord wouldn't talk to her. The Lord did not condone her sin. The Lord did not condemn her. I believe she was already condemned in her own self. And some things, if we just leave the Holy Spirit to work, He'll take care of all the needs. We don't have to do that. And so the Lord said, you go get your husband. The Lord knew she couldn't do that. You go get your husband, bring him back, and we'll talk farther. That's really what he meant. She didn't lie. She said, I have no husband. But the Lord surprised her. Here's her second surprise. First of all, she's surprised that he even talked to her. Now she's surprised that he knows she's had five husbands. Now she's surprised that the Lord knows that she's living with a man that is not her husband. So here's involved the sin of life. And the Lord says, you've said truly. I guess in a roundabout way, he commended her for telling the truth. She did not have a husband. She had had five, and the one she was with was not her husband, so she did not have a husband. And he said, thou hast well said, I have no husband. And then he reveals to her in the shock and amazement, I'm sure, that came into her heart. And the woman said unto him, sir, there again using that word, sir, I perceive you're a prophet. Now she's gone from a Jew. You're a Jew. Why are you talking to me? Now, in her mind, he's a prophet because he's told her everything about her life. He's told her what she needs to hear. He's told her what is there real. And she says, sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that Jerusalem is the place. And so some of the teaching of the Lord was a little different than their traditions. So she said, now you're not just a Jew. You're not just a person of the land. You're a prophet. And they continue to talk, and then, of course, we'll see in a minute, she recognizes him as as the Christ. So she had five husbands, and she was living with a man that was not her husband. Verse 27. And the woman came, and upon this came the disciples and marveled. Now they're shocked. Jesus has a way about shocking people. They've gone to get meat, and they're shocked at two things. First of all, they're shocked that he would talk to her, just like she was shocked. And then they don't understand why he's not hungry, because he had sent them into the city to buy meat or to buy food. And so they bring it back, and he says, I'm not hungry. And he makes the statement, I have meat to eat that you know not of. He's talking about spiritual food, that spiritual food that he survived upon. And so this old water pot, it probably symbolizes the desires and the drives of the old life. She'd been there every day. Some have surmised, and maybe rightfully so, that she was there in that hour of the day because that's nobody else was there, and she didn't have to face the ridicule and didn't have to face the mockings, and didn't live in a day and age like we do. Doesn't matter anymore to people, but it did then, and she didn't have to face her accusers. And so she came when there was nobody else there, and so she was surprised. Here's a Jew that's talking to me. And so she leaves that water pot, and that maybe symbolizes those drives and those old desires of her life. And she leaves it there and goes and does what the Lord tells her to do. The Bible says, I think I used this verse Sunday, says Romans 8:5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. That's those two natures. When a person is only in the flesh, only has that fleshly nature, that's all he knows how to take care of. That's what she was doing. She was taking care of her physical need of water. She's taking care of the physical need of the one that was with her and those around her. She's taking care of that fleshly need. But now there's a new need that is coming up, and there's a need that all of us have, and that's the need of a spiritual life and coming into a understanding. So those that are of the flesh, we ought not be shocked that they mind the things of the flesh. But we ought to be understanding. We ought to have a knowledge. And those that are after the Spirit, they mind the things of the Spirit. We ought to be dealing with spiritual things, not just fleshly things. And so that's what the Lord gave there in Romans 8:5. So this woman left her water pot. She left her desires behind her. She had trusted the Lord, trusted every word that he said, believed what he told her. Now she has turned from her sins. She's left the water pot, and now she goes and tells the story. What a picture of salvation. What a picture of a new creature and a creation in Christ Jesus. And so she leaves her water pot in verse 28, and she went her way, and maybe she left because the disciples had come and they were questioning, but she goes her way and she says, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. A lot of supposition. Who did she talk to? Who all did she deal with? Well, the scripture tells us that she leaves that water pot there at the well, and she goes back to her city, and she went her way, and she saith, not to just the man that she was with, but she says to the men, is it the men of the city, or is it those five husbands that she had before? Could have been both. Very possibly, I'm sure was. But she goes and she makes an announcement to the men. She makes an announcement. She's probably a pretty popular lady, and she makes an announcement to the men here. Come see a man that's told me everything that I've done. And come see him. Is not this the Christ? So now he is in her mind. Jesus has gone from being a Jew to being a sir to being the Christ. Process takes place. It's called salvation. Things have changed in her life. Not only is Jesus that man that shocked her, but now Jesus is that man that shocked her again told her everything, and she realizes this man's not just a prophet. He's not just a sir. He's the Christ. So he goes from being a Jewish man to a sir, to a prophet, to a Messiah. Process we call salvation. John chapter 3, John chapter 4, great stories and great things given to us. Come see a man. You know, that's our story. That's our desire. That's all we have. Because the Lord can tell us everything about us that's ever been. He knows your thoughts. He knows your deeds. He knows your ways. He knows your attitudes. He knows everything about us. And our message is, come see this man that knows all about me, and he's changed my life. He's not just a Jew. He's not just a public figure. He's not just a polite man. He's not just a religious man. He's the Lord. He's the Savior. He's the Christ. And so she'd made that process all the way through. And we find that she has, I believe, turned from her sin and now turned unto to the Savior. And by the way, it hadn't been too long ago, I brought about 7 or 8 messages on the word come. Well, the Bible tells us over and over again, Jesus said to her, go call thy husband and come hither. John 4:29, come see a man. Jesus said unto this dear lady to come. Now you come see me, you go to there. Isaiah 1:18 that I gave you a moment ago, come now, let us reason together. Matthew 11:28, come unto me all you labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Revelation 22:17, the Spirit and the Bride say what? Come. And so that's the invitation. And by the way, that's the only way we're going to get into heaven, by special invitation. And this book right here gives us the invitation. And it's given to every living person upon this earth. Come. Let my burden be light upon you. I read this story and I thought it was interesting, and we'll close with this. But in the early part of the 19th century in the country of England, there was a woman who had heard the gospel over and over and over again, but she had never personally responded to that gospel. She had come from a Christian home. She understood as much as she could understand about faith because she had heard it so much. But still, she had just not been able to come to the Lord. She considered herself unworthy, and the Lord wouldn't want her, wouldn't desire her. One day she wandered into a small church in the city, and she sat down in the back, and she was almost in despair, and she hardly even heard the words of the preacher of that day, who was speaking, and right in the middle of his message, he makes this statement. And this is historical fact. He said to this woman, and didn't even know her, right in the middle of the message, the preacher stopped, pointed his finger at her, and said, "You miss sitting there in the back, you can be saved now. You don't need to do anything other than trust." His words struck like a thunder in her heart, and she believed at once, and with her belief there came an unimagined sense of peace and real joy upon her heart. That woman's name was Charlotte Elliott. If you look in your songbook and you come to the song, I forget what number it is, "It's Just As I Am." That night, she, after that meeting, she goes home and she writes the words to that song, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come." That's the only way a person can ever come to the Lord, just as I am. That's the way the Samaritan woman came. That's the way Charlotte Elliott came. What number is that song, Brother Bradley? That's the only way she would come. And you know what? That's the only way I would come. That's the only way you would come. Just to believe, leave our past, leave our water pot, and take the living water, the well of salvation. And what number is that? 375. 375. We sing that for invitation time and time again. Just as I am. All those years she had struggled with trusting the Lord. And God worked in her life like he does in all of our lives. And he put a person in front of her that pointed her out, that did not even know her, and made her realize, I can be saved. And so she goes home that night, and she writes this song that's in our song books and every hymn book that's ever been written since she wrote it. That song's been in there, Just As I Am. The Lord works in mysterious ways. We don't know all the ins and outs, but he knows what it takes to get us to him. Praise the Lord, we can leave our water pot, we can leave our past, and we can go to the Lord. Let's stand together tonight.